There's nothing like jumping in on a beat. Did you notice that? Anyway, hopefully not. But anyway, hello again, Gooners. That was always my catchphrase. And today or tonight, or I don't know what time zone you're in, but I know where you are, Fizzy. You're in deepest China and talking to me now. So we're going to talk about a number of things. It might just be one or two things, but the things we're going to talk about, the Villa defeat. We don't like talking about defeats, but sometimes you've got to do these things. It's a growing process, right? You grow from defeat. That's what my dad always says. And then what else? The Leeds preview. Obviously, the Leeds game's coming up. A lot of us looking forward to that. A lot, me included, because, you know, I always think you're going to bounce back when you do have a defeat. But were there any reasons for optimism after watching the Villa game?
I'm struggling to find some. I have to admit, I'm struggling to find some. I think what it highlighted really was that I think Arteta needs to change the attack. I think, you know, what Arteta's done, and I think it's important that we realise on this journey of Arteta's, it's going to have a few bumps along the road, you know. And I saw an article last week, just to try and put things back into reality, you know, we're only 6 points off the top.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, some people are acting like the season's over, we're screwed, we're never going to get Champions League or whatever. We're only 6 points off the top. You know, we've had three difficult games away from home, which we won one of them. We broke the away record against the top six. And so, you know, we are going to have a few bumps in the road. And I think Arteta, what he has done is he has made us a bit more solid against the stronger teams. We're not getting spanked 3 or 4-0. But against the weaker teams or against the teams that, you know, we have to be on the front foot, I think that's where he struggles. I think if you look and think about Leicester and Villa, they're games that, you know, we have to be the attacking team. We can't sit back. You know, it's not expected that we sit back. And I think that's where we're struggling. I think I questioned the formation that we've used. I don't think necessarily 3-4-3 is the right formation at home against a supposedly weaker team. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, Leicester and Villa both are mugs. You know, Villa beat Liverpool, so they're obviously not complete slouches. You know, of course, Leicester are good. But, you know, I think we need to be a bit more, have a bit more of an attacking formation. And I think as well, I think it's a lot of the blogs and a lot of people that are saying this, like, I tend to agree. I think something needs to change in terms of the personnel as well. I think, you know, Lacazette clearly is a striker that's out of form. And I think Willian, apart from that first game at Fulham, you could argue that he hasn't really contributed much.
What about Lacazette?
I think Pepe possibly deserves a chance. I think we need to stick Aubameyang up top. I think it's worth a try. Like, I think what happens, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And I don't think the current front three of Aubameyang on the left, Lacazette and Willian, is going to yield anything different at the moment. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you take players away, you get them out of the spotlight, and then they come back fresher, they come back better, they come back with something to prove. And I certainly think Pepe's jumping at the bit. And I think you can put Saka on the left. You know, Saka, my new concern about Saka is burnout more than anything else, because he played in both the England games. And I don't want to sort of, you know, turn him into another Jack Wilshere who's always injured because he just played far too much. But I think, things need to change on that attack. And I think formation-wise, things need to change. You know, with no 10, we are going to struggle creativity-wise. But I don't understand the logic behind having three at the back and two sitting midfielders against Villa at home. And I think we struggled with having shots and keeping the ball in that final third, really. So I think things need to change in that regard. And yeah, these are challenges for Arteta that he's going to have to face. It's never going to be smooth sailing. So, you know, he's going to have to work with the players he's got. Maybe January will give him something new. But, yeah, up until then, we've got lots of important games coming up. Even if he does manage to sign players in January, he's got to change how we approach those games. He's got to change how we approach those games. You know, it's up to him. So, it'll be interesting to see what team, you know, playing against Leeds. They've had three games recently where I think they've lost all three. They're a bit out of form. Like, they started the season, you know, obviously they were unlucky to lose against Liverpool in that first game of the season. Yeah, they started reasonably well. They only know how to attack, so I think that might suit Arsenal, because I think Arsenal will play the 3-4-3 again, and I think that might suit Arsenal. But yeah, I certainly think I'm not looking so much towards the Leeds game per se, but yeah, in future home games against teams where we have to be on the front foot, we have to attack, I certainly think things need to change.
On paper, Leeds is a tougher game, really. Leeds away,
yes,
than Villa at home. So you know, bearing in mind what you said, I mean, the results against the top teams have been better than they were previously. So bearing that in mind, and the fact that the team are likely to bounce back from a disappointing defeat, especially letting in three.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've had the internationals, though, haven't they?
Yeah.
They always look a bit sort of
weary.
Disjointed almost.
Mm. Yeah, they often do, yeah, you're right. And after Europa League games as well, I notice a lot of players, even if they haven't played in that game, they just seem to be led and legged, you know. They don't have the same zip.
Yeah, in energy. Well, I think we were against Villa, weren't we? We were quite sort of lethargic. I never got the feeling. There were times I didn't see us press particularly well. We didn't have the same energy or the same intensity. And Arteta kind of fell on his sword a little bit. Mm. And said, well, that's my responsibility. And to a certain extent, it is. But I think we also have to remember, yeah, Arteta's been saddled with, you know, he's slowly starting to turn that squad around. But you kind of think, you know, maybe he has to, I think he has to be a bit more ruthless with some of the players in that squad. And he has to get rid of a few. Like, supposedly we had an offer for Lacazette in the summer from Roma, and we turned it down. And obviously in hindsight, yeah, hindsight's a beautiful thing. But certainly looking at how Lacazette has started this season, he seems quite bereft of confidence. And, you know, you know, being a striker, you don't get that many chances. Yeah, and the Villa chance that he missed when we were 1-0 down
changed the game,
perhaps. But yeah, we were bad. Like, Villa were up for that game, and that's a team thing, isn't it? You know, Villa were up for that game, and we weren't. And I think maybe in years gone by, we might have scraped something, or we might have come back. But I think certainly attacking-wise, we don't know how to break teams down.
Yeah, but I wanted to ask you about Lacazette, because I looked at his stats, and do you know how many passes he received during the whole entire game? I don't know the exact figure, by the way. It's so tiny. It's single figures. It's not even nine. Yeah. It's something like six passes in an entire game. That's shocking. And some people said that's because he didn't run and fight and show for the ball. But
no, I don't think it's because he didn't run. I think it's because of this. I think players, you know, they're told who to pass to. Mm. So if you're a centre-half, say you're Gabriel, your options are either centre-half either side of you or one of the two midfielders. They're
the easy options,
So players are told, you know, and who to pass to. Now, when they make that decision, you've played football, I've played football.
Yeah.
You don't want to give a ball to someone that you don't trust and you think might lose the ball. And I think there's an element of that. I think there's an element of the players around him don't have as much confidence in him as perhaps they did before. So, you know, when they say they don't pass the ball, they're more likely to pass the ball to, say, someone like Huber than they are to Lacazette. And I think, you know, I saw that statistic. But we're talking at the highest level of professional players. If they're not confident in their teammate, they won't pass the ball.
But when you see what Lacazette has done
in teams, and I think that's part of it. I think they recognise the fact that he's not. Like, players
he's not
aren't stupid. They recognise when players aren't trying. They recognise when players aren't putting the effort in. And I'm not saying Lacazette is in that bracket, but they recognise when the player is not on form as well.
Mm.
And I think, you know, they're told to pass to certain people and they don't do it. I saw another statistic about Partey and I can't remember who his partner was. I think it was Elneny.
Mm.
And yeah, Elneny received a lot more passes than Partey did. And that's you know, why that is. You know, whether it follows that same rationale that we had about Lacazette, I'm not sure. But certainly, he doesn't seem to be getting the service, but there's not confidence in him. As a player, I don't think they're exuding confidence, so I don't think the players have much faith in him. And I think that kind of like falls back to what I'm saying about he needs to, Arteta needs to change things up.
There is another.
Certainly, I mean, isn't looking like the player that we hoped he would. He's not looking like the player that used to devastate teams when he played for Chelsea. So I think things need to change, really.
But when you go back to Lacazette for a second, if we think, you know, even in a when we've played in games, and obviously not the same sort of level, I remember a game. Okay, it wasn't like a Villa game. It was a really important game, and I was a top goal scorer at that time, and I remember I was just kind of, I don't know if I was marked out of it, but somehow or other the ball never really got to me. I hardly touched it. I think maybe a bit more than Lacazette, but not much, because they were just so. And if I got the ball, I always had at least two to beat, and the conditions were terrible. And you know, we ended up losing that game. It was a championship decider, so it was like this big hoo-ha about that I shouldn't be allowed to play for this team, and all of this was going on. But what I'm saying is, I would have said I was in form at that time, because it's about the only season where I scored a lot of goals. It's the only time in my life where I scored a lot of goals, and the opposition knew about me, and I didn't know about them, but they knew about me, and they just said, look, you know, he shouldn't play, and they made, you know, and I got to play, but they, as I said, I barely touched the ball that I recall, a bit more than Lacazette, that's all. And I just started thinking, well, maybe they had a plan, maybe Villa had a plan, and they just decided they were going to stop the supply line to Lacazette, but then that would be down to Arteta to try and find a way of fixing it, I suppose.
Of course, yeah. Arteta would have known that Villa would have had the plan, of course. And it's kind of like countering the other person's plan, isn't it? You know, it's like chess to a certain extent. You know, you're countering the counter. But I don't think it's just the Villa game. Like, I think, this is a player that, hasn't done, you know, apart from the first couple of games, you know, he doesn't seem to be particularly confident. Like, against United, he looked a bit heavy-footed, and he's looked heavy-footed. He's looked clumsy. He hasn't looked at his best for a while. This isn't just one game. This is I know he's scored a couple goals, but he hasn't looked. We need, in a team that doesn't create much.
Yeah, true.
Which is what Arsenal are. We survived on the back end of last year because Aubameyang was banging at everything, anything left, right, and any chance Aubameyang got, he banged it in. This year, Aubameyang's not. Aubameyang hasn't had a few great good games either. And so, if Aubameyang's not on form, then of course the attention's going to focus on the other players that need to step up.
Yeah.
And the primary person in that sort of rationale is Lacazette. He's up top, and like I said, this isn't just one game. This isn't just Villa. This is Leicester. Can you think of a game where, apart from the United, where we were dogged, and we pressed them? Can you think of a game where we've attacked well, where we've taken them, apart from Fulham, perhaps?
Oh yeah, Fulham.
At the opening day of the season, where we've played well, like the other games that we've won. I can't remember who I think it was Sheffield United we won. Yeah, we didn't play well.
We got a result.
We didn't play well. We didn't look like an attacking force. And so I think this is a problem that sort of like runs a little bit deeper than one game. And I think, if you look, we've been, from an attacking point of view anyway, this season, pretty bad. We've got some of the lowest shots on goal. I saw one statistic with like 15th in the league, shots on goal, something like that. But we don't create many chances. We don't create many goal scoring chances. And so when we do create them, if our striker's not on form and taken, then that's sort of going to make things even worse. So I just think it's worth shaking things up a little. Maybe the formation doesn't help, like I said, because he's got no 10. To almost link up with, Aubameyang's out on the left and whoever within normally is out on the right. But he's got two holding midfielders, he's got no one to link up with, and maybe that's a factor. But then then you go, okay, well, maybe we need to change the formation. Having three at the back and two wing backs probably is a little bit too cautious for when we're playing Villa at home. So, yeah, but then, and as well with the Villa game, I watched the highlights. You could tell from the first second, we were not at the races. We were not at the races. They were. And that falls on Arteta, because, you know, 9 out of those 11 players didn't even play against in the Europa League. So they've got no excuse for being tired. That's a lack of focus and that's a lack of concentration. And that leads me to think that, you know, there are some players that just need to leave that squad. You know, Arteta has put faith in these players and he has improved them. But there are some players that need to leave that squad.
You think they're in the comfort zone? Is that it?
They're just not good enough.
You think they're in the comfort zone? Because, I mean, the thing is, from what I can gather...
No, I just don't think they're that good. Yeah. I just don't think they're top level elite professionals. I think they get complacent easily. And I think part of it is they haven't had the right management for a few years. But I think also as well, they need a new challenge. I just don't think they're good enough, really.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because that brings me on to Auba. Who is it? Darren Bent said that Auba is not a world-class striker in his book. Any thoughts on that?
I think I disagree. I think if you look at the amount of goals that Auba has scored from a left-wing position, almost, it's very hard to sort of support that statement, really, isn't it? But how much he's carrying with Arsenal as well. And you could put Aubameyang in any team. And then you
see loving. Yeah, you know? I agree. So, I was shocked when I read it. I went, Darren Bent, is it because he's ex-Spurs he has to say this kind of thing?
Maybe he's just trying to make a name for himself.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You know what really surprised me? Because I was furious. So I was like, who are you anyway? Oh, you scored over 100 goals in the Premier League? I don't think so. So then I checked. Oh, wait a minute. He scored 106. But still, then I checked his stats. How often was he scoring compared to Auba? Auba's like, what was it? Point six of a goal every game. And then Darren Bent was about half that. So I thought, so wait a second. So you've played double the games, and more than double the games, and scored just a few more goals than Auba. So Darren, just shut it. You know, that's what I was thinking.
It's one of those, isn't it? Opinions are like arseholes. Everyone's got one and then you're full of shit. So,
that's a nice phrase.
Take it with a pinch of salt. If it was a proper footballer's opinion, like someone that won trophies and, was a world-class striker. That's the thing. It's like, Darren Bent's not a world-class striker. So why should I listen to his opinion on what world-class strikers are?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if it was someone like Ronaldo,
I might take that opinion a bit
more seriously. But seeing as Darren Bent's not a world-class striker, then, I'm not sure what you want me to do with, it's like me saying, Shakespeare wasn't a very good writer. Well, I'm a shit writer, so my opinion counts for fuck all. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, from that point of view, as good a player as Darren Bent was,
it was good.
He wasn't a world-class striker.
Yeah.
So to make that sort of point, I think it's not necessary, really.
Yeah, I would have liked to know who is a world-class striker. If Auba's not, I'd like to know who is, because I think it would disqualify nearly everybody.
Do you stay a world-class striker? Because you could argue Aguero was a world-class striker for many years. Is he one now? Possibly not. Mm. You know, so would you put Firmino in that bracket? Cavani was pretty good. Would you put him? I wouldn't put Cavani in personally, but of course it's...
He had his day.
It's subjective, isn't it? I think for me it sounds like clickbait.
And so
he worked for TalkSport.
He probably does. I'm not even sure. I don't know who to attribute it to, because I saw it on a couple of websites, but I don't think it was TalkSport for once. It was one of the other ones.
Oh, that's a surprise.
Maybe.
They pretty much
do. I think there are quite a few that do that. What I was going to ask you is, I mean, so let's say, I mean, you know, I'm a huge fan of Lacazette, so I'd be so loath to drop him. But I hear what you're saying, and I know he only touched the ball a few times. But the thing is, so you'd play Eddie Nketiah instead, or you'd go 4-4-2.
I think we need to try, just shake it up.
Yeah.
Just shake it up. Try Uber up top.
Yeah.
Put Pepe out on the right, put Saka out on the left. Arteta needs to stop relying on certain players, I think, or just rotate it a little bit. And maybe change the formation. I think we struggle because we don't have a 10. Yeah, if we're not going to play Ozil, and obviously we can't play Ozil until January anyway, don't know. But, you know, we've got Willock, we've got Nelson. You could try different things. You could try maybe playing 4-4-2. Yeah, there's lots of different variations that we could possibly play. I did see an idea about putting Pepe up top with Aubameyang. Because of his speed, you know, you can get behind the defenders, and he finishes quite well. And he's a bit like Walcott sometimes. Like,
yeah,
if he doesn't have time to think, instinctively, he's quite a clever striker. It's when you give him too much time to think. Walcott was always like, you gave him no time to think, he often would make the right decision. But as soon as you gave him a second to think, it would all fall apart. And I think Pepe could fall into that bracket sometimes. So,
I think with Walcott,
I think he needs to experiment. I don't think Arteta knows. I think Arteta is like, this is Arteta's second problem. The first problem was shoring up the team, turning that team around, and he has. And this seems to be the next problem that he needs to try and fix somehow.
Yeah.
And he knows the players better than us, so we can only speculate. But I certainly think that, you know, this is something that needs fixed. I don't just think these are one-off games. I think this is a problem that needs some sort of solving. And, you know, maybe in January we'll get some money for some players. If you can shift any players on, you might get some money. You have to question the sanity of the Willian deal. Yeah, you know, we're talking about bloated deals for players that aren't performing. And Willian looks exactly like that at the minute.
But he started off so well, though.
32, there's always that risk.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like we haven't learned our lesson. You know, so we'll see. I think, yeah, the league, I think it might suit us a little bit because they'll come on to us. And I think they only know one way of football, that's to attack. Bielsa is obviously not a mug, but he's done very, very well. He's a great tactician. So it'll be an interesting game. It's a shame it's on a Monday morning for us. But, it will be an interesting game to watch.
Yeah, I think so. I mostly fancy Arsenal for that game, I have to say. I mean, but then again, I've fancied Arsenal for most games, and Villa, I didn't see a defeat coming there. So I was just so shocked, and I'm still in a bit of a state of shock, really. 3-0. But then I thought about it, well, how much do you put it down to the fact that Partey went off so early?
Now, we weren't at the races from day one. Mm. Like, they had that goal disallowed in the first
game. Oh, yeah, that's true.
And I think that was harsh. I don't really.
Yeah, it was very, very harsh.
We were just not at the races. Like, we were poor. Like, we just didn't look. We didn't have off the ball. We didn't have a harass. We didn't press. And Villa looked like they had time. And on the ball, we looked devoid of ideas. We didn't look particularly creative. So, yeah, no, it was a completely deserved result from Villa's point of view, as much as it pains me to say. And like I said, they're not a bad team. Mm. You know, they're not a terrible team. You know, they're doing much better this year. You know, Grealish, you know, looks like a good player. Grealish is someone you would think would be, you know, possibly, you know, for a bit of creativity. We didn't deserve it at all.
Like, the thing is,
can't blame fatigue because 9 of our 11 players didn't play on the Thursday, so the 4 weeks rest. So I don't really think we can use that excuse either. So, hopefully we do bounce back, and Arteta would have, Arteta worked hard at it and sort of tried to find ways to fix it, and we'll just have to wait and see, really.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in Arteta to fix whatever the problems are. As long as he's identified what they are, and that's the hard part. But when you spoke about Grealish, I mean, every time I watch him, it seems to be, to me, he's like a one-trick pony. He always cuts inside, and he plays well when he's allowed to cut inside. And I was shocked that it seemed like against Arsenal, once again, he's allowed to cut inside, and it's a problem when you let him do that. you know, like Ozil, I'm not Ozil's hugest fan, but not at the moment, at least. But with Ozil, he's a lot more unpredictable. You don't know what he's going to do. Whereas with, with, to me, Grealish is like, it's not even Ozil light. He's Ozil light. He's just, he's a million miles away from being as creative as Ozil. And yet, I just think defences have been quite lazy in the way they've approached the game and just allowed him the space and time to be devastating, because he was devastating in that game from what I saw. But I had this idea, but I mean, it's a bit of a mad left field idea, but my idea would be just to stop him, put a left footer on him so that he always gets shown the line, because I don't think he can deliver if you show him the line all the time. If you let him cut inside, he's gonna cause problems. Because the funny thing is, I don't know, I don't expect Arteta coaches like this, but I remember with the FA, because I did a lot of coaching with the FA, and they always used to say to me when I was coaching, they said, oh, just let winger cut inside, because I was always from Yorkshire. And I would say, why? If he's two-footed, it's a huge problem. You don't want to let him cut inside. Remember Mark Overmars? If you let Mark Overmars cut inside, he would slaughter you, you know? So... And this guy from the FA, he said, no, you don't understand. I said, no, I do understand. I just think, you know, a lot of wingers, you're far better, or even number 10s even more so, you're better off showing them the outside. Let them go down the wing. What's the worst they can do? Cross the ball, and then the keeper might catch it, unless it's a great cross. But you let them cut inside, all kinds of trouble starts, you know? So I didn't like the fact that Grealish was... You know, I had to say, I don't like the player, but he was devastating. I have to be honest, he was. But because in the past, Arsenal managed to snuff him out. Do you remember the cup final against Villa? Do you remember that time everyone was hyping up Grealish? Grealish was a little kid. Yeah, he has developed and he is better. But everyone was hyping him up, going, oh, Grealish is going to... He's going to annihilate Arsenal. And I thought, really, is he? I mean, I didn't really know a lot about him. I hadn't seen him a lot at that stage. So I thought, well, maybe he's that good. But then on the day, he didn't even show, did he? He just barely noticed he was playing. So
I think he's a different player now than he was.
Yeah, cool.
Back then, you know, and he's matured.
Yeah.
You say about him being a one-trick pony. I think if you've got the players around you that sort of work with you.
Yeah.
And, you know... Maybe, but yeah, if you know what he's going to do and you still can't stop it, that says something about the player, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it does, it does.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it was, Villa had a plan. They pressed Arsenal high. They made Arsenal make mistakes. They had lots more energy, lots more sort of desire. And I think it showed. And I think it was Arsenal just didn't expect... And I think the players were themselves perhaps a little bit complacent coming into the game. So, so we'll have to wait and see how Leeds goes. I think, you know, we'll try, hopefully, be a bit more positive and hopefully get a better result.
All right.
Yeah, the games still keep on coming, don't they?
They certainly do. I want to.
Tottenham.
Oh, God. Tottenham's coming up soon. Just want to give a shout out to some of the people who've entered the live studio, whatever that means. I'm guessing you can hear what's going on. So shout out to Rama, Sohel, Terry Fev, and somebody else that I can't scroll up to at the moment. There's a couple of others, so sorry about that. I didn't shout your names out. Oh yeah, Class One Probe, thanks for the thumbs up, and also Paulski. So yeah, welcome on board. I hope you're not feeling too depressed hearing us dissect the Villa game. So yeah, there weren't much good news to come out of that game at all, really, was there? I mean, we're still struggling. We're trying to find a little tiny bit of good news. I mean, how bad is it going to be if Partey's not fit in time for the Leeds game? Do you think it's gonna sort of derail? Will it derail any chance of Arsenal succeeding at Elland Road? Do you think if Partey doesn't get fit in time? I'm not sure if you heard all that question there.
Obviously, you want your best players for the games. What effect that has, I'm not sure.
Mm.
I think, you know, would I want him to play? Yeah, of course. And he would. Yeah, you know, he was a man mounting against United, and I think he would offer the same. I'm not. What are the odds on him playing? It's he's got a chance.
Yeah, I think it's about 50-50 from what I can gather. I mean, I'm making up figures out of the air, to be honest. But, I mean, just based on reports, sounds he's got a calf strain. So, is it a calf strain? Sure. No, wait, thigh strain. Sorry, it was a thigh strain. He's got a thigh strain. They can be quite hard to get rid of once you've got them. It depends how bad it was. I thought, because they took him off pretty early, that he's got, I mean, and what with the medical facilities that Arsenal should have, he's got a chance. I mean, they pulled him out. They pulled him out of the international squad.
Like,
yeah. So, yeah, he wasn't involved in that. But, oh, yeah, on that note, I just want to ask you about Alba. Did you hear about Alba being stuck at an airport in Gambia? Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
He wasn't best pleased, was he?
And how's that going to affect his preparation ahead of the Leeds game? Well, I mean, would you consider dropping the captain, bearing in mind that he's not had the best of times? I mean, again,
no,
yeah.
I wouldn't. I think he'll get back to the UK soon enough.
Yeah.
So that's only Tuesday, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
he's got time.
Back soon enough.
Yeah.
He would have forgotten about it. I think obviously he's quite right to be a bit pissed off. You know, you look at the FAs of all the countries organised this long before, and so it does seem like a bit of a shambles on someone's part. I don't know all the details, so I don't know everything. But understandably, he's a bit pissed off. But yeah, I think he would have forgotten about it when he gets back to Arsenal and starts training properly. And, so no, I think it'd be fine.
And what makes it even worse is Elneny has got COVID now, so he's out.
Yeah, so it adds more importance. I think, you know, if we had a midfield of Xhaka and Ceballos, I don't think that's a terrible midfield. I think that's a midfield that's done us a decent service last season. That was our best midfield last season.
Oh, yeah.
It depends how Arteta wants to play, and I think just having Partey in the mix just gives you another choice, and it also gives one of those two the option to come on at a certain point and maybe change the game. So,
Yeah, you've got to say with Partey in central midfield, suddenly, I mean, obviously Villa accepted, but suddenly you feel like the defence has an element of protection in front of it because
it does.
Yeah, the other players just.
Why do we need?
Yeah,
we don't need to have three centre halves.
Yeah, that's very true. I'm in a way, I'm a little surprised that other formations haven't been tried as much as I don't want to criticise Arteta tactically though, because I think he knows much about football. It's kind of clear. I like a lot of what he does, and you know the way he's. It's not just the tactics, is it? I mean, we could say he's ostracised Ozil for the right reasons, you know, because Ozil's clearly not had his mind on things on the pitch as much as he probably should have done, or the way he was previously. It's a thing of the past, and it's not just managers saying it. Some players have said since his romance took off, he's changed as a person. Not necessarily fully in a bad way, but he's got a lack of desire. Lots of people have commented on that, and some are players as well. They say he trains well. They say, or as well as he can. And they also say, you know, he's a nice guy, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I think Arteta it could end up looking like it's backfired because, as you've highlighted, there is a lack of creativity. Even with Willian, he's not really producing for whatever reason. It may be because he's not playing in quite the same position as he was at Chelsea. And there is something to be said for playing, you know, playing square pegs in square holes. Or is it the other way, round pegs and round holes? Yeah, and not square pegs in round holes. I'm not saying he's a square peg. I'm not sure. It's a bit early on to judge. But you remember, like, you mentioned Walcott earlier, and I always thought with Walcott, passing wasn't his forte. But if you played him, I don't know why Wenger didn't do it, because Wenger kept saying, oh, yes, I would play him as striker and off the shoulder. And it never happened, hardly ever. He played every... He always gave him like one or two games to prove himself as a striker, and that's not enough. If you're playing as a striker, you need a number of games to really sort of build up a head of steam, especially if you've been playing out on the wing, which kind of brings me back to Alba. So I'm a little concerned that now that he's been playing on the left regularly, week in, week out, I'm a little worried about how he's going to readjust. Even though, yes, I think he's world class, I do think so, but it takes a little time to readjust to playing up front, unless you know, I haven't watched these games with his country. Maybe he is the out-and-out striker for them, so maybe he can just totally fit in. But, I mean, let's get on to the team for Leeds then. I mean, maybe we should do it from the front backwards, because we've been talking about the front players a lot. And, I mean, I'm with you on reintroducing Pepe, because I'm not even sure why he's not even in the team. Because, to me, he's one of the most dangerous players that Arsenal have got. So it doesn't make any sense not playing him from the start. You know, I would totally play Pepe for sure. So I know you'd want to select him. So how would you line up against Leeds?
Well, as much as I've been saying about changing the formations, I think this is one of those games where we have to make sure we're defensively solid. So I would actually stick for this game. This isn't a home game against Villa.
Yeah,
this is an away game. Against a good attacking, and as I said, Leeds only know how to play one way, and that's attack. So I would actually keep the formation for this game that we've been using. I think, yeah, the 3-4-3 works reasonably well when we play against better teams away from home. So I would stick with, obviously, Leno in goal. If they're fit, Gabriel, Holding and Tierney.
Yeah. Hard to disagree with that.
Because I don't think Luis is fit yet, is he?
No, as far as I know. I mean, I'd play Luis if he's fit, but yeah, I kind of get the feeling he's not going to make it, unless he's going to be a secret weapon. He's suddenly returned to fitness. But yeah, I've not heard anything. He's been very quiet on the David Luis injury situation.
The midfield, I'd have to go for Partey. Obviously, El Nenny can't play because he's got COVID.
Yeah.
So I'd stick with Ceballos.
Yeah. I don't think he's
playing that much.
Well, I'm agreeing Bellerin, with all your selections so far.
Bellerin on the right. And I'd say maybe, because we don't have many options on the left. If you put Saka on the left, who would you put on the left of the three? So I'd have Uber up top, Pepe on the right. Maybe you could put Nelson maybe on the left. You could put Saka on the left. Mm. Play Maitland-Niles at that left wing back. So I'm undecided there where to play Saka.
You would think
his strongest position. And I think Maitland-Niles has never done a bad job.
He's done all right as of late. He never really ripped something trees for me, but
alternatively, you put Tierney on that left wing back, and if Luis can play, you have Gabriel, Luis, and Holding.
Yeah, that sounds a really good combination for me. So
if that's possible, I'll try that. So I think Tierney offers us a lot going forward. I think
he does.
Bless him, he's done well at centre half.
Yeah,
I do think he's a bit wasted there. So if that was the formation I could play, let's just stick with the 3-4-3 for now. I do think we need to get rid of one of the centre halves and have a 10 instead, or maybe have another midfielder. It doesn't have to necessarily be a 10. You could have like a 4-3-3 almost. Formation, but let's keep it as it is for now. So we'll have Holding, Luis, Gabriel, Tierney, Bellerin as your fullbacks, Partey, Ceballos as your midfield, and then Saka, Uber up top, and Pepe.
So the only one I sort of had a slight issue with, not that he's not a good player because he is, bringing in Reece Nelson, I'm not sure I would do that.
I think I would put Saka up top with Uber and Pepe and have Tierney on the left. It's just who to play on that left wing.
It's a hard call,
The front three on the left-hand side, if it's not Saka.
Because
we don't have that many options, do we? I don't think Nketiah can play on the left. It's not his position.
But how about Uber? Uber on the left, but you want to bring him in the middle. But playing Uber on the left.
I think we need to think James. I don't think Leeds necessarily be expecting it. And I just think Lacazette out of form.
Yeah.
I think if players are out of form, then you need to give them a rest. You need to give them a breather. I just don't
I can't say he's in form because, I mean, he was at the start of the season when he was scoring goals. But even then, it was strange. People were saying he's out of form. Oh, really? He scored three goals, though, in about three games. How is that out of form? But yeah, I know he is now. I can't argue that.
I don't think he's part of the reason why Arsenal played the football that they did.
Yeah.
You know, that obviously, it stems from Arteta, but I think we weren't playing attacking football all year. Even last year, we lost a bit of that flair when Arteta joined, but we were considerably more solid.
Yeah.
Now I think we've got that solid base. Now I think we're starting to learn how to defend the team a little bit better. So I think we need to almost, to quote a Wenger phrase, take the handbrake off of them.
And let the car go rolling down the hill in his case. That's what I thought was happening.
Yeah.
I went, it's like rolling down the hill with no steering wheel. What's that? Sorry?
We need to be a bit more risk averse.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I sort of see it, and I also, when you've seen how leaky that defence has been, it's really difficult to want to go back to the way it was.
It takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To make a team solid, and especially if Partey's not playing, that's a big miss. So hopefully he will, but we'll have to wait and see. Obviously.
And if Partey doesn't play, and it's Xhaka and Ceballos, I mean, Ceballos is quite creative, I feel. He's not like Ozil creative, but he's quite hard to stop when he's running with the ball. But he's a different sort of player. He just slides some good balls forward. Incisive passing. It's normally not very long passes, but I still think he can be very effective, Ceballos, because even though he's not exactly a prolific goal scorer or anything, but I kind of look forward to seeing him play, because I feel like he will play against Leeds. It's a case of having to play him now, right? Because if Elneny, who's played really well, is out, which he clearly is with COVID, what choice is there for... So if Partey plays, I think, like you said, Partey and Ceballos it'd be interesting to see how that partnership works. And then if he brings Xhaka in instead of Partey, who may still be injured, that should be solid enough. Won't be particularly solid, but it'll be solid enough, hopefully. And I think Ceballos will provide a lot going forward as well, which is reason for optimism, perhaps. But we're clutching at straws a little bit, I know. But I just wanted to mention this as well. The curse of the X, right? So if you throw Eddie Nketiah, who I like to call Necktie, but probably doesn't like to hear that, but Nketiah, if Nketiah plays against his old employers, well, they're not really employers, are they? But the team that he was loaned to, Leeds, surely Nketiah is going to score against Leeds. Wouldn't you say that's a dot on the cards?
Super sub, maybe. Super sub, right?
Yeah. You don't have so much faith in him then. But he does it. I mean, the thing is, you could do it the other way around. You can let... The thing what I've never really been as big as I should be on Nketiah, because I think, he's a decent player. Of course he's decent. But he's got more chances under Arteta than he would have got. Say I was managing, that would never happen, obviously, in a million years. I would not have played him as much, but he's deserved. He's deserved to play, with hindsight. Yeah. And because he nicks goals. The guy just nicks goals. He's much better than I probably realise. And I like his work rate a lot. But I just can't. When people have said to me, "Oh, you should play him instead of Lacazette," I'll say, "Are you having a laugh? Seriously, Nketiah is a good player. Lacazette is obviously not at the moment, but on his day, Lacazette is totally unplayable, I think. But we haven't seen enough of those days of late. But I'd consider playing Nketiah, because he might run him ragged. That's the thing. Even if Auba's on the left, if Nketiah is up front." Because he's just going to be running for this, show him for that, and they'll have to go with him. The defender's going to get pulled all over the place by Nketiah. And so what I thought Arteta might do is let Nketiah run him ragged and then go, right, Laka, it's your chance. Come on, score a goal. But by then, Nketiah may have scored. Because the guy, you just give him a chance, and he's a sniffer. I think he's that sort of goal scorer. So I've started over a period of time, even though I wasn't overly impressed with him initially, he's clearly got something. I don't even know how many goals he's got for Arsenal's first team. It's not a huge amount, but he's not had that many opportunities. I haven't checked his stats of late, but, you know, yeah, it'll be interesting to see see how, you know, the team that Arteta puts out for this game. So, yeah, would you like to make a closing prediction, unless there's anything else that we haven't covered? I think we covered most of the stuff.
No, I think that's pretty much it. Let's say, I'll be positive,
3-1. Well, that's 3-1. That's more positive for me. There I am going, yeah, of course we're going to win. But yeah, I think it's going to be a win. I'm going to go for, well, what the famous scoreline, of course. 1-0 to the Arsenal. We've got to go for 1-0. 1-0 to the Arsenal, I'm saying. So until the next time, I guess we'll probably meet up again on a Tuesday, seeing as we've got all these people tuning in. So thanks to all those people tuning in. As I said before, big up to Rama, Sohel, Terry Fev, and other people too, like, he says, trying to scroll up desperately, Class One Pro, and Paulski. So thanks very much for joining us. Until the next time. What do I say? Adios, amigos. Something like that. Right. Until the next time.